Last week, we opened this subject. I'm calling it Values from Thin Air, a Christian Response to Current Cultural Narratives. The idea is, how do we respond when people say things like, if it feels good, do it? There's all of these things that are in the air. Our generation had them. The new generation has them. This was a big one for us. Remember in the 70s? When we all just wanted to do whatever we wanted to do. So we came up with this slogan to justify it as if it was self-evidently true, right?
And one from the 60s, tell it like it is.
Tell it like it is. Well, that one looks pretty good. Let's do that. These things sound reasonable. There's some truth in them, but they're not quite right. And we haven't thought it through enough to really know how to answer it, oftentimes. So what we're going to do this morning is practice. We're going to do a workshop. We're going to talk about some of these, introduce a couple of more of them, and critique them, look at them, analyze them from a Christian standpoint, and how do we respond? How do we respond to it? There are answers. We can engage with confidence. A lot of times these sayings, these phrases, are based in biblical truths, but they've been changed or twisted or unsupported. And if we can bring them back to their foundation, we can use it as a way to introduce the gospel. This is something we can all do. Now, last time we talked about some guidelines for engaging people on these subjects. Actually, these are guidelines for engaging people on any subject, aren't they? We talked about if you don't know how to engage, if you don't know what to say, even if you do, say a quick prayer. Lord, be with me here. Proceed with love and compassion. Remember one thing I said last time is think about the values and beliefs that you hold dear. What would it take to change those? That's what you're up against with someone else. You got to take it that seriously. You got to really think about it. Yes, the Holy Spirit works on our hearts, but you're being lazy if you're just relying on that and not doing the best job you can to try to winsomely convince someone. Okay? Ask a lot of questions. This book here by Greg Kochel, Tactics. He has the Columbo Method. The Columbo Method. Remember that show? We come in and say, you know, there's one thing I don't understand. Can you please explain to me how?
Just one more question.
One more question. Ask questions. Who doesn't like to be asked questions? Ask permission to engage. Sometimes people don't want to talk about it, and you can't just jump right in. Just say, do you mind if we talk about that? Are you willing to talk about that? I have thoughts about that. Do you want to hear them? Something like that. Be respectful. Listen to what they say. Try to not interrupt. Listen some more, then respond. You don't need to directly confront. This is one of my little pet ways of doing things. Instead of saying, well, I believe, after they've said what they believe, you can say, well, how would you respond to someone who says the following? See, it depersonalizes it. It takes the confrontation out of it. And they may know that that's how you feel, but it turns it into more of a discussion rather than a debate. Agree where you can. This one is so huge. Most of these, almost all of these, have some huge piece of truth in them. I agree with you. It's really a good idea to be able to, whatever that thing is, be okay with just leaving a stone in their shoe. That's another thing Greg Kochel, that's what he calls it in his tactics book. It means just if you say something, and all you get a chance to do is say something that gives them pause or something to think about, that's good enough. Doug?
Maybe you could clarify something here. I have a question. Like, agree where you
Yeah.
If you don't mind.
No, I don't mind. I lost track. There it is. I would say God has given us feelings. They're part of who we are. We can't separate them from who we are. How we feel about things makes sense. It's part of the way we make sense out of the world. They're there for a reason, and it's important that we pay attention to them.
And pleasure is okay.
And pleasure is okay.
Yes.
That's how I would agree with part of this. And then
you
I would
bring
go,
up any disagreement at all on that. You just,
well, you asked how
that you're in.
You asked about the agreement part.
Right.
That's how I would start out. There's a lot of biblical stuff in this statement.
Yeah.
It's just not complete, is it?
Right.
Lee?
Well, agreement doesn't always mean I agree with you.
Right.
You can always say, well, you know, a lot of people feel that way, but have you considered, and then ask your Colombo questions or whatever.
Sure. Yeah. That's another way of saying, you know, I disagree with you, or you can say, some people feel this way. It's a kind way of engaging.
Or you can ask them, if it feels good, can I do it with your wife?
That kind of gets to the heart of it, doesn't it? You've covered about 14 points in that one statement. And don't quote the Bible immediately. The Bible is not the authority, the cultural, overarching cultural authority that it used to be. Okay? You can get to it later on, but try to make your case just from what it is they're saying. Okay. So we tried a couple of these on last time. One of them we went to was, I can live the life I want, you have no authority to tell me I can't. That's another one of these. We tried to answer that last time. What I want this morning to be, we're going to do two or three of these if we get to them. We may just do one, and if we do, that's fine. How do you critique this? So we talked about the guidelines for engagement. Now, I came up with another list this morning at 6:30 when I got up and drank my coffee, because I realized I wasn't real clear last week in how can we do this? How do we think it through? Okay, so we have a statement that someone says. How do we start to think about it in a biblical, rational, sort of careful way? First of all, read the statement carefully. Okay? If there's any words you don't understand, or phrases, or you don't understand what the person means, say, ask for clarification. What do you mean by that?
Or speak in plain English.
Speak in plain English, right. What are the assumptions behind the statement? Is there a partial truth here that we can recognize? Is the statement self-contradictory? Some of them, all you have to do is think through the implications of what's being said, and there's parts that just don't go together, and you can kind of point that out. Okay? What's the historical evidence? This is a big one. Okay? People have this belief. Look back in history when this belief was tried in actual real life, and how did it work out? Then this one to me is the biggest one, because it works all, it is something to say all the time. Why do you believe this? Now this is really important to understand. This secular person who has this thing that they're saying may be saying something that is completely 100% biblically true. I'll give you an example. In this culture nowadays, the idea of human dignity and human equality is huge. It's really important. Okay? It's right out of the Bible. We can completely agree with those ideas. But if you say to them, why do you believe it? You start to touch on this idea about where does the idea come from? Now, for us as believers, it comes from, we believe, it comes from the very mouth of God. This is a primal worldview belief that God has for us in the way that we deal with each other and the way we think about each other, is that we are equal in His eyes, that we each have dignity and are worthy of respect. So that value is for all people, for all time, in all circumstances. Okay? But if you ask a secular person, why do you believe that? If it's not grounded in the transcendent, in something outside of us, what's to keep that value from just drifting into the culture and sticking around for a few decades and drifting back out again? And if you look at human history, that's what it's done. In fact, the only reason it's stuck in Western culture is because of the biblical idea that it comes from a transcendent God. So you can always say to a person, how are you going to keep that? What makes that statement worthy of sticking around forever? Look at most other cultures. Look at most of that are on the earth now. Look at most other cultures in human history. They do not hold that value that all people are equal. Why? Because it's not self-evidently true. It seems like it, but it's not. There really is no argument. If there's not a God telling us this is a value I want you to hold, there really isn't any way you can argue against the idea that somebody comes along like Hitler and says, I think there's this whole race of people that need to be exterminated and the world would be a better, happier place once they're gone. How do you argue with that? It has its own internal logic to it. Unless you believe that there's a God who's telling us, no, we don't get to do that, you can't really argue against it. So always look for this. This is huge. We believe it because there is a transcendent being who created us, who wrote, we believe, this book called the Bible. It's sort of like the Care and Feeding of the Human Species manual. Okay? And this is one of the things he says. You will be happier as people, and you will be better off as a society, and you will be able to be closer to me if you treat each other equally and with dignity. Okay? So that one is really, really huge. Without a transcendent source, whatever the value is, it's not going to stick. In a few decades, it's just going to be gone, drifted off. And then the real important question here is, once you've sort of deconstructed this, how can we use it as a way to introduce the gospel? Okay, so this is kind of the list that I want you guys, this is the list I want you guys to sort of use in your mind, or any other way you want to do it is fine. So, it's your turn. What are you going to say when your brother or your son or your grandson or your nephew or your coworker says,
humanity is constantly making progress. We are better than ever before and will continue to improve and innovate without the hindrance of ancient religions or antiquated worldviews.
So, as we did last week, Tim is playing our friendly agnostic. He's the right age for the people we want to be able to talk to. There's his statement. There's the way to deal with it. And you guys are on your own.
I have a question for you.
Yeah, go ahead.
With this statement, do you believe there's still evil in the world?
Do I believe there's evil in the world? Well, I think evil is a little subjective of a term, but personally, yes, I do.
If mankind is making progress, excuse me, why is there still evil?
Because People are still free to choose to do the wrong thing. I mean, I'm not saying we're perfect, but we are getting there. I think there's a lot less evil in the world now. I mean, if you just look at the historical evidence of how far we've come, we live in a generally a safer life nowadays. Our lifespan is much longer. We have better medicine. I don't have to worry about walking out my front door and getting speared through the chest by like a rival tribe. Like, life is generally, I think we can all agree, a lot better. And I think that is indicative of a forward movement towards a better future. Yeah?
Would you say that the evil has been getting strongly reduced after two world wars and 6 million Jews killed in the
US? That's a good point. I'd hope so. I'd hope so. Yeah, and yeah. I'd hope so. Yeah. Yeah, right here.
Well, you know how bad the 20th century was, but is it true that there are very few conflicts today, and what is the death rate still going on after the middle of the 20th century?
Hmm.
Has it really just stopped at the middle of the 20th century, or does it keep going?
No, I think... I have to get the source, but I remember reading somewhere that we're living in the most peaceful time. It doesn't feel like that because the media portrays all the conflict going on, but I believe there are fewer wars now than there used to be in like all of history. I mean, talking about the medieval ages of all these kingdoms and tribes all warring constantly. Nowadays, like my entire life I haven't had to worry about being drafted. I generally think. No, that's true. That's true too. Yeah, I'm not saying the whole country, the whole world is still safe, but I think we're moving in a better direction. Yeah. Yeah.
And also you've observed that the world's population keeps getting larger and larger.
Yeah, it does.
And more people seem to be starving to death. Problems that are escalating.
But I think overpopulation is a different issue. That's not us not getting better. That's just more people being born. But I think we can still improve. I think that's a separate issue that's going on that we kind of can't control. That's just being human is reproducing. Yeah.
In terms of not government action towards a welfare program, but in terms of personal action toward helping others,
I think I know where you're going. You're going to say a lot of Christians do a lot of charity work, do a lot of helping.
Just Christians, but the general people of faith doing charity, even Muslims.
Sure, yeah, sure. Yeah, there's, sure, a lot of religions point towards charity, point towards good works, but I'd have to also argue that for the longest time, and still today, a lot of religions hinder that work. A lot of religions cry out for hate. They cry out for hating other people different from us, who have different worldviews. And, you know, me talking on the subject of the improving of humanity, I think all you have to look at is we've had religion, major religions, Christianity, Islam for thousands of years, and it's only now where we're sort of seeing the fruition of science and technology that we really see a change in our life, in our quality of living. And I think, yeah, sure, there's always going to be some religious people out there doing good, but personally I think it does a lot more harm than good. Yeah.
I know that technology can be used to spread the gospel.
Sure, yeah. Yeah, the internet makes everything spreadable nowadays. You have a good point.
All the progress you talk about is technological progress.
Okay.
And it did come about under the Christian rule.
All of technology? I'd argue against that.
Not all. Under, Christian technology, Christian beliefs, actually believe in science.
Well, I'd say not anymore.
Where did the science come from? Which societies?
The Greeks?
And the ancient... That, it hinders it.
Yeah.
Where's the hindrance that religion has made to the...
Look around us today. There's tons of Christians out there who literally say they don't believe in science. Like, don't believe in science. And how do I argue against that?
But I'm asking you, where is it that it has stopped it?
Where has religion... a hindrance in, I don't know specifically about science, but in general, you look at all the atrocities committed by some of the major world religions, the Crusades, incredible pogroms and slaughtering of people who don't believe in the same thing. I think it's pretty evident if you look at history and see all the terrible things.
If you look at World War II and you see all the death that came from non-religious groups like Nazis and the communists, they killed more people than all in history.
Maybe.
They were not religious.
No, they weren't. That's a good point.
They were technologically advanced.
Yeah. And I'm glad we defeated them. But yeah, no, you have a good point. They weren't Christian or religious. Yeah, over there. That's a really good question. I'm trying to think about that. So, science, I mean, so you're saying, I heard one point. One point was you come up with a scientific solution to a problem, say to the pork industry. We want to create a lab-grown meat that's more humane so we don't have to slaughter a bunch of pigs, but that's going to put people out of business. There, I think... Destroy regions of people.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Well.
Take it to extrapolate it to its furthest point.
I don't know. You have to weigh it out. But personally, I think if the benefits are greater than the consequences, go for it.
So that is not very compassionate, though.
No.
Because it's cold rationality, which lacks the human element.
Sure.
And so I'm not sure how that alone is sustainable.
I see. Yeah, pure rationality, sure. I don't think there'd be compassion in that, but I guess I'll speak personally. Like, I'm not a purely rational person. I have compassion for other human beings.
But doesn't then ration cease to be transcendent?
I never said rationality was transcendent. I just think rationality is something...
How is it greater than the transcendent theology?
I think it's more reliable. I think it's more reliable. I think rationality...
It's reliable to decimate, yeah. Because you eventually, you obsolete yourself.
That's right.
What do you mean?
Let's look at the supermarkets that have self-checkout. That is obsolescence. That's human obsolescence.
Okay.
Just like an RV, you know, I recently sold an RV because there's manufactured obsolescence. It's designed to break down. So if you are purely rational, then there is a degree of obsolescence built into the theory itself. Because you cease to be rationally useful, or you extrapolated to, you know, portions of people.
Interesting. I kind of see what you're going. I would have to agree with you. There is an importance of compassion. I don't think we should all be cold-hearted robots. But I will still stand by that. I think rationality has, and science specifically, has led us to a lot of good technologies that have improved our lives. Okay. No, you have a good point. Maybe not. Yeah.
I want to take a time out here. I want to ask the class. You guys are doing well, but I would go with the third one. What are the assumptions behind this statement? What does that statement say about the human condition?
All right, guys. What am I assuming here? Tell me.
I have a good, can you give an example of what Christian religion hinders the improvement of human life?
Hinders the improvement. Like I mentioned before, you look today at a lot of Christians who don't believe in science, who think we shouldn't, that all scientists are in league with one another, and all their published papers are all their biases. And they call themselves Christians, and personally, like, a lot of people call themselves Christians and act completely different from each other. So in my book, that is Christian, maybe not Jesus or God at work, but that is the religion at work. Yeah. Yeah, right here.
2 points. Just as it would be wrong for me to assume that all atheists are innately evil in the sense of human perspective of what good and evil.
Okay.
Because atheists killed over 50 million people
mm-hmm.
in the 20th century. And in all the history of the world, religions killed, I've heard one figure, 100,000. I don't know if that's accurate, but even if it's off by a factor of 3 or 4, the obvious comparison is, you know, religious people are much better than non-religious people.
Mm-hmm.
We want to use that basis for your argument. But what is your assumption behind religion? Because my assumption is that religion is man's attempts to reach God on their self-effort.
Okay.
Christianity is not a religion in the biblical sense. Maybe the way men carry it out might be aberrant, but Christianity is God's attempt to reach man in Jesus Christ.
I have heard that before, yeah.
You know,
my parents were in the church, and I'm familiar with... Yeah.
And so the Crusades, for example,
mm-hmm.
were not, they may have been religious, but they weren't biblical Christianity.
Okay.
You see, it was men who hijacked the term Christianity and misused it for their own purposes.
Okay.
But you can't blame Christ or the Bible or biblical Christianity.
No, but I didn't blame Christ in my sin.
So I would suggest when you use the term religion, careful.
Okay.
Because
okay. No, but I mean, really quick, even in your point that like 50 million people were killed by atheists, I could argue that that atheism was a religion. And because that was someone, a lot of people saying, I believe this and other people should die because I believe this. Like in my book, that's just as bad as the Crusades. I'm not an atheist. I'm an agnostic. I don't claim to know that there is no God for sure. Who haven't I heard from? Have I heard from you?
Yeah.
Any of you? Well, anybody else? Yeah.
Warren?
Yeah.
Warren? Well, this has already been said, but I think it's a mistake to lump all worldviews together.
Sure. But that's...
I'm not a Muslim, I'm a Christian.
Mm-hmm. then I think
so
that...
I'm here to defend Christianity, not other religions.
Okay. Well, again, I think part of my statement, antiquated worldviews, possibly atheism would fall into that, or that atheism that led people to slaughter millions of people. Yeah, back there.
I'm not so sure I agree with what you're saying about Christianity and Christians hindering science.
How come?
I think it's kind of an assumption on your part, because just through my experience in reading, I have never seen any Christians that were criticizing like medical science. I would maybe grant to you that some Christians would, you know, be critical of evolutionary perspectives.
Mm-hmm.
Divided Genesis theory is the origins of life, but in terms of like chemistry, biochemistry, medicine, oceanography, you know.
Look up Christian
theology,
science. Look up Christian science. That's what you're describing. It's
Christian
the belief
science.
That I think that medicine, like they kind of shun medicine, and it's all just only prayer.
Okay, but that's a very small percentage of Christianity.
But it is a percentage.
And
I have seen their churches around, and I do know people who are in Christian science. It's not a, it's by no means a inconsequential amount, a number of Christians. I think right there, but I think there's a lot of other Christians. I've met, like, at my school, professors who are Christian who have told me they distrust all scientists. And he was a young earth creationist, and I don't know that was the reason why, but that they do exist and they aren't uncommon.
Steve said last week, have you heard of Hugh Ross?
Yeah, I have heard of Hugh Ross. Yeah.
What is your assumption behind Christian science? Mary Baker Eddy, the founder, said, if Jesus Christ never walked the face of the earth, it would not have made any difference to me. End of quote. She did not believe in the reality of matter or sin. So that's clearly not Christian.
Interesting.
Not
I didn't know that.
Either.
I didn't know that. That's weird. Shouldn't call themselves Christian science then. Yeah, right here.
Regarding your statement of there, we are better than ever before.
Yeah.
How can you explain that there's more homelessness now? The family has broken down. There's a lot of children being brought up with one parent. And. A lot of those things are because religion has become less and less.
I'd have to ask you to find a source on that, because personally, when I think back, like I'm sure there's been a ton of orphans, homelessness going on in the medieval ages, or you know, 200, 300 years ago. I think that's always been an issue, but I think it is lessening. I mean, but look, I of course. I think the general trend is getting better. I mean, if I just look at my quality of life versus someone living in ancient China, like, I'm gonna live longer. I'm not gonna die of any crazy diseases, hopefully. And, you know, if I break my leg, that's not the end of my life. If you broke your leg back then, you were dead. You were done. And I don't have to worry about that. Walking around on the street, like I said, getting speared by another tribe. Yeah, right here. Okay.
How do you explain it?
Suicide rate going off the charts.
I can't.
Again, I don't think literally everything's getting better. Sure, there's stuff. I'm not naive enough to say that, but suicide rates going up. I don't know. There could be an explanation for that, but I don't know. Yeah, right here.
I'm hearing that you're making an assumption about quality of life equal to humanity is getting better.
Yeah.
I'm thinking just in terms, because I don't have a scientific background like a lot of you guys.
Okay.
But just in terms of what you're seeing in the paper, just in terms of the people that have some of what we would think of as the highest quality of life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they have a ton of money. If they don't like the way their nose looks, they can go change it. They have doctors and all sorts of things. You know, they're not going to go get stabbed by some sort of thing like that. And yet those are the people that are dying by their own hands and are killing themselves with drugs and those sorts of things. And nobody can argue about the quality, the supposed external quality of their life.
Cool.
So I'm a little confused about why you think quality of life equals humanity is better.
Mm. That's a good question. I said we're constantly making progress and we're better than ever before. Yeah, I'd say quality does equal better. I am saying that.
I don't
know. Well, then, that's okay. Yeah, back there.
What I'm wondering about your statement is that you say you're making progress, humanity is making progress.
Yeah.
What I hear in that is that somehow there's no factor for, let's say, a basic bent for evil or a basic bent for original sin or any of that kind of thing. So what I'm wondering is, if science and technology is making it so much better, why do we see places like in Nazi Germany where there's science that's held up as the highest form of making things better? Why do we see it go so wrong to where we have people like Mengele who did all these experiments on children, and people who were in concentration camps were messed with, and all this? Why does that keep happening? Because I see it happening right now with people taking really good science and using it for really bad ends. Even where you have manufacturing, like they take water and they cleanse it, and Nestle puts it out there and then takes the whole water supply away from the local people, so there's nothing to drink.
Okay, I see what you're saying. Let me try and answer that. I'm not saying that science is the cure to all our problems. And I definitely agree with you. I think there are a lot of people out there, just because they're researching something or doing experiments does not mean that's ethical, does not mean that's the right thing to do. I totally agree with you. But I also did not mention that science is the only thing improving. I'm talking about also basic human equality and rights. We've seen like a massive surge in this movement of women's suffrage, blacks getting treated the same, marriage with interracial marriage. We're seeing more movement towards better treatment of all people, and I think that's indicative of humans making progress just because we're moving that way. I think that's kind of obvious. Yeah, back there. What do you mean? Am I talking about a miracle or the...
America.
I was like, what? No. America, the world at large? Well, can't speak for the world at large, but... No, yeah, no. Not every country, but America, yeah. Yeah, back there. Maybe. I would argue against that, but keep going.
Jesus and the early church were very radical in their own communities and in their own time on a social level.
Mm-hmm.
So you have, like, instead of treating the parts where we've messed up or haven't quite made it yet as being inconsequential, there's a through line of humans having grand victories and humans having tragic failures.
Mm-hmm.
And the commonality is a man her number, you know? So while it's
Okay.
Well, I heard you say a lot of.
I think that you're treating a lot of things as collateral damage when they are, in fact, quite consequential.
Hmm. Interesting. Well, I agree there's a lot of failures in our past, but I'm not saying overlook those.
But no, and I don't think anybody here is saying that you're speaking in terms of science only, but what you're saying is on a physical level, you're saying that we've done better. But there seems to be a quick stroll through the comments section of a beautifully written article shows that we are in a huge existential crisis.
Mm.
And our smallness still reveals itself.
Mm. That's a good point. I can't argue that people are still people. Like, people are always going to be that. But I hope as a society we change it. No, maybe not. Maybe not. And I think that's just human nature. Like, I can't argue with that. No, you make a good point. Yeah, over here. Wow, there's like a forest of hands. Okay. I haven't heard from you.
Where are you drawing your moral compass from? What source are you drawing from? As science progresses, populations grow, as we're going to start putting down older people because they're not useful to society, as we get into trans species and start messing with people and genes and all that, where is our moral compass going to come from?
I think I see where you're going. I've gotten this before, is you can't have a moral compass without a transcendent moral law coming from God. I have heard that argument before. It might be true. Personally, I get my moral compass from my reason, from looking at history and see what has worked, and going off the basic idea that I want to be treated, or I should treat other people like I want to be treated. If everybody followed that, the world would be a much better place. But I think I can... I've reasoned my way to those. I've gotten those for a transcendent being or anything. If that's where you're going, sorry,
well,
I kind of spoke to you.
Is that much different than Hitler having his moral compass where he draws
no.
it from?
No, it's
what
not.
What he thinks will help society, what he thinks would be good?
No, he had his thing, and we fortunately defeated him. But I think that's the thing, is that we all have to come up with our moral compasses one way or another. And we'll battle it out. I mean, Hitler was willing to die for his, and I'm willing to die for mine.
With Hitlers and people like that?
Yeah.
Because of that reasoning? Because my moral compass says this, and yours says that?
Yeah.
And so this is where we get our next North Korean guy.
No, but I'm...
Everything is good, and people are the popular vote. Can't that send us in any direction?
Sure, it can.
In science and everything?
Yeah, it can. And it's up to the people who believe they're doing the right thing, like hopefully me, that to fight those people who want genocide. My moral compass tells me that's wrong.
I thought we were improving stuff and getting away from that because of religion.
But I mean, if I'm fighting an evil, something I believe is evil, I think that trying to improve society by defeating the evil. Like, I don't think all fighting is bad. You can fight for the right thing. Yeah, right here. That's another topic, yeah.
Leaving behind technological progress, which isn't really about personal moral compass.
No.
So from a personal moral compass, if you're under that you don't need a transcendent giver of laws, you'll just derive laws from the best examples of history.
Yeah.
But then you're going to write down a list, and the list is either going to be complete or not complete, and the list is either going to have only good stuff on it, or it's not going to have all good stuff on it, like Hitler built good roads, but it was really lousy at race relations.
Sure.
You know,
lousy is one way to put it.
So if you are going to create a list, therefore, how is that not a religion, in fact? You're creating a list for moral behavior. Isn't that kind of definitionally actually religion itself?
Maybe, but my list personally is always changing. I'm not arrogant enough to say I've found the moral compass that everybody should agree on. So I think maybe that's the difference from religion, is religion comes from like a standardized piece of information or a text that you follow, but from what I know, like, the Bible isn't changing, people aren't adding to it or subtracting it. For me personally, my moral compass, I'm always looking to reflect on myself, see if I'm wrong, and improve that.
Identity groups who have committed bad deeds.
Yeah.
And you know that they violated their own rule book in doing so.
Uh-huh.
Then by creating a rule book and saying that it's in fact malleable, which you just said, how is that any kind of positive driver for new history that will look different than old history because it's the exact same template?
I don't think so. I think if the template is improving and changing and being willing to change,
well,
then I could...
It's malleable according to the will of what you think you see as good now.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
So from perspective, if you felt you had been subjugated by someone and you felt justice was to overcome that,
mm-hmm.
by whatever means, isn't that immediately an enormous trap for you in the future?
Hmm. I'm trying to see what you're saying. You're saying it's a trap to build
right,
my moral compass?
Can shape the way you see
I see. Yeah, sure. I agree. I'm not saying maybe I'll never find the perfect moral compass. Maybe it'll always be screwed up. And this is a journey. I hope I get there, but maybe not. Right here.
You're distinguishing between religion and worldview. I'm wondering what worldview you're looking to that's responsible for constant progress.
I wasn't really distinguishing. That was more of a statement of I didn't want to just blame it on religion or put blame really anywhere. I was just saying that ancient religions, antiquated worldviews could go just basic, outdated ways of thought,
guess. What is a not outdated way of thought that's responsible for constant progress?
Mm.
What works?
The belief that humans are equal, that we all deserve the same value, respecting other people.
So
I think
that's a very narrow definition of progress.
But
yeah,
that
sure. That's one aspect of progress.
So
that'd be like.
But that comes from the very word of God.
Maybe.
It does.
Maybe. So what's your point?
Well, first of all, you just narrowed. You made a broad. General comment, humanity is constantly making progress.
Mm-hmm.
And then you should just narrowed it down very, very much to what you believe progress is.
I wasn't saying that's all of progress. I'm saying that's one aspect of it. So I'm not saying the humanity treating other people equal. That's one aspect of the progress. There's also scientific progress, technological progress, way of thought progress.
That sounds like a lot of assumptions you make.
Mm-hmm.
You're only coming down on one area of progress, you don't know about any other area of progress. You're just making an assumption. Are you really comfortable with that?
Comfortable with making an assumption? For now. And if I'm proved wrong, then I will change. But, yeah, I think we have to make assumptions sometimes. Yeah, back there.
Yeah, you talked about outdated, antiquated views talking about religion.
Yes.
What
would several of these views be? The belief that in Islam that a woman is a second-rate citizen.
Christianity, because you were doing that. I'm kind of curious.
No, sure.
Of Christianity.
Of Christianity. Let's see. The belief. I could say like stuff like the Earth is 6,000 years old. Then you could argue that not all Christians believe that. But then I'm not saying all Christians believe that. But that's one. Mm-hmm.
What I want to know is, in a whole, what are these antiquated views? Because you're talking about a view that a lot of people don't hold. In fact, the majority of Christians don't hold. That's a new view that's only 100 or some years old.
Yeah.
Because you talk, it's easy to say they're antiquated and of
sure.
value.
Okay, I got one. Yeah, that only the male can be the head of a household.
That's not biblical.
I think it is. I think you could derive that from that. I mean. The ancient Hebrew religion was a patriarchy. That was led by males, and I think that's pretty obvious if you read the Old Testament. Hmm?
Women could own land in Israel, ancient Israel.
But they weren't equal by any means.
Some people are more equal than others. That has nothing to there's a lot of gender problems.
But I don't see the point you're getting at. You're just saying that I'm...
Well, you're telling me you're hitting... I don't know how to explain it. Lumping your viewpoint of Christians on some historical things that have happened supposedly by Christians.
Mm-hmm.
So by the same thing, if you can say by that Christianity isn't valid, it's bad, etc., whatever, then can I not say that anybody's not a Christian? That's just as bad, because Hitler, Mussolini, and Stalin were not Christian.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, everybody else is bad too. Therefore, the whole world's bad. Where does bad and good come from? You're going back to a problematic question.
Sure. Yeah, I can see that. Okay. Who haven't I heard from yet? Yeah, right here.
So a lot of this takes decades to figure out, and we give up too much of the classic religions or antiquated worldviews.
Mm-hmm.
When do you get to really be free of that? I mean, is it in your 20s? Don't you have to kind of go by what your parents
do? What do you mean be free of that?
Well, at what stage of life can you actually live this out? When are you going to be free of antiquated religions and worldviews? Can you go to college and you've relied on your parents growing up, but now maybe you can rely on some teachers. At work, you can rely on, hopefully you have some older people to teach you what you're doing, but
mm-hmm.
it seems like humanity, we're constantly striving to get better, but we have to balance that with our ancient stuff.
So you're saying not everything old is bad.
Yeah.
I know that's a lot of people's views that, in with the new, out with the old all the time. I'm not saying that. But that's why I also said ancient and antiquated. I'm not saying all religions are bad. There's a lot of aspects of Christianity that I love. But I'm just saying I think we're making progress without being, well, we would be making more progress without being bogged down by a lot of those. Yeah, right here.
Tim, I want to try a little line of reasoning here.
Sure.
It sounds like what you're saying from that statement, that people behind that statement, the assumption sort of is that people are basically good and want to progress and be better. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I think I would agree with that. I think that generally people do want to be good and do want progress, and there's always going to be bad apples, but yeah.
What do you do with these studies where people are put in stressful situations? And even a lot of Christians, which is shameful, I'm not happy about it, but where people are put in stressful situations and they revert to almost like animal behavior, where it's really all about their own survival,
mm-hmm.
maybe their family survival, but this idea that they're better, they're progressing, they're continuing to improve and innovate, isn't brought out when the rubber meets the road. How does that fit in with your worldview?
Mm. So you're saying we're all base animals by instinct? That's an interesting point, and maybe I would agree with that. That honestly, we are making progress, but deep down, we still are animals with the same instincts. And if I'm put in a stressful situation, my life's in danger, the flight or fight instinct is going to kick in. There's no amount of technological progress that's going to change that.
But if people were basically good, wouldn't they be doing good even in stressful situations?
No, good doesn't mean perfect.
No.
But I think, hopefully, it's hard for me to say that all humanity tends towards good. That's a really big statement. But I want to believe that. I really do. But no, there's always going to be pretty sure everybody has evil inklings or selfish inklings in them. So,
Do you really think your position is borne out by looking at the whole of human history?
Mm.
Doesn't human history seem like it goes up and down and up and down and up and down, and it's not really an arrow pointed in a particular direction of making progress? It could be for a generation or two, but overall, I think we've kind of stunk at making progress.
Maybe if you look at a really small, not really small scale, but within the hundreds of years, yeah, certainly civilization would go up and down, all that stuff. But if you look in the grand scheme of things of 50 to 200,000 years that humanity's been on this planet, I think there is a definite direction. You can see that in population growth. You can see that in our level of technology, our level of food being produced. All these things are going up.
Let me ask you you a question about your own personal life, if you don't mind.
Okay, sure. No one's asked me that.
Sir, when you're, let's say you've had a really good day, maybe you helped a friend out and you went to school and you learned something new and you've been thinking through this stuff. Do you ever lay in bed and you're just feeling kind of empty? Feeling kind of like, what am I doing here? What's the point of this?
Definitely. I feel like most people have gone through that. I don't think
yeah.
that's an uncommon thing. No, I think that's part of being human is having
yeah.
those questions of why are we here?
See, there's so much truth in your statement. I think that there are ways in which we are making progress. Medical care, lifespan.
Thank you, yeah.
Basic human rights, I think we're more aware of those rights. But, you know, the really interesting thing is that almost everything you believe about human rights,
mm-hmm.
do you have an idea of where that came into the culture? Who thought of that first? Why do we believe that?
Basic human equality?
Yeah.
No, I don't know.
What if I told you that was Jesus Christ? That it came into the culture because of Christianity?
Then I'd say that's awesome.
Do you mind if I tell you how I feel as a believer?
Sure, go ahead.
I know from my own heart that I am not a good person. I can do good things,
yeah.
sometimes when it suits me to do them. But when it suits me to do bad, given my own human nature, I'll do a bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, the only way that statement makes any sense is with the transformative power that Jesus Christ has in my life. The only way I can do a good thing for a good reason, do a good thing for a loving reason, is because I'm so grateful. I believe that God has changed me from inside. I'm so grateful that He actually loves me when I'm not very lovable.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so grateful for that that it makes me want to say thank you to Him by reaching out to other people.
Well, Ross, then you'll be one of the few Christians I meet who admit that and say that, because I've met a lot of Christians in my life who've been extremely condescending to me, who've hated me for not believing in God, told me I'm going to hell. A lot of these things, well, they do not reflect this idea that Jesus taught of human equality. And so if Jesus did indeed come up with that, that's awesome. Then that's awesome. I'm not saying nothing good can come of religion, but it didn't do a great job of sticking. Maybe that's because of our human nature, but like, just from my experience, I've had to deal with so many Christians who act the exact opposite of what you're saying, what you're doing right now. And
maybe we're so messed up that even with Christ's transformative power, it takes us generations, millennia, to see the truth, to get to the truth. We're groping for Him in any way that we can, but we're so messed up internally that we can barely get our hand above it.
That's kind of depressing.
Well, the real question is, it could be depressing, but the question is it true? Is it a real reflection of human nature?
That's a good point. Maybe. I'll have to think about that more. Thank you.
Okay.
Anybody, you want it here?
Yep. The time is up. All right. So what do you guys... You guys did pretty well, but do you see how entrenched the ideas are and how the agnostic worldview is just as detailed and has as much stuff in it as our worldview? And how do we answer it? So what... Give me some of your feedback from the questions. What did you think?
General feedback towards
yeah.
the class?
Tim is no longer an agnostic now.
Yeah, praise Jesus that we got to do this. This is really fun, guys. So it went, yeah, it was pretty good. Honestly, smile more. Or just like say like, thanks for having us here. Because like as that character coming in, I saw a lot of like just stone faces. Just like, excuse me, have you ever considered? And it's like, okay, whatever. And it just, it wouldn't hurt to just like smile. And I don't know. Yeah.
Steve?
I was down at Huntington Beach witnessing, and there was one fellow who seemed to know everybody. He turned out to be a retired teacher who's a Christian. He's had quite an effect on that community.
Oh.
And he's actually on the CERF Walk of Fame.
Oh.
And I asked him, how do you witness to somebody who's just really good? And he says, just tell me, he says, don't try to make yourself different. Tell them that they're a lot like Jesus Christ, and tell them about what Jesus did. And I thought, you know, I have a tendency to say, what's different between them and me? Well, I can add that on, but I don't need to make them really different. In fact, they probably have a lot more qualities like Jesus than I need to learn from. And to realize that Jesus came as, I call him almost an attorney, arguing to the religious mm-hmm. attorneys who just messed everything up. And he raised up people. He didn't have to put some people down to raise somebody else up.
Mm-hmm.
And he raised everybody else. And so that's made a difference. And the last thing is, I like the word religion. We call that a bad name, but it means re, again, or back, and legere, from religion, to bind to God again, to bind back to God. And so Jesus, God, is our image to what we want to bind. And if I can get that over to them, why God is my image, and he encompasses so much of what they have, then I can add on, not make different.
For me, one of the things that's really, thank you, Steve, is it's really important is that without Jesus Christ in my life, my human nature is just as fallen as anyone else's. The worst person that ever lived. If I was in the same circumstances with the same parents, with the same frame of mind, I would do the same thing. And that, for me, brings such a humility.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just like this person. Love them, enjoy them, be compassionate to them, listen to them, spend time with them, and try to introduce them to Christ, who has actually made a difference in your life.
One of the things that I was thinking, and I'm guilty of this too, in this exercise that you did that was different from what the rest of us did, is we were just going at it. You know, and of course, you have to be defensive when people are going at it. You know, but you started off by saying, you know, well, yeah, I can see your point on X, Y, Z. Because, you know, you're not going to convince anybody. I'm a teacher, so it's my first day of school on Friday. And
what break?
And, you know, here I'm trying to discipline these kids. Well, I can't really very well because I have no relationship with them. You know, and in order for me to be able to get to the point where they're going to listen to me, I have to listen to them first.
Yeah.
And I think that's, even for myself, what struck me, wow, I just want to start going in on him. And that's not even the way I usually act. But you get in a position like that, you kind of go, that's our human nature, like, well, I'm right and you're wrong, so I'm going to show you why.
Which is easier as a Christian than almost any other position, because we're so sure of how right we are. And we can let that turn into arrogance and pride. And there we are. We just fell off the cliff.
Right. Now we're not right anymore.
Now we're not right, and that's right. Yeah. John, we're going a little long. I hope you guys don't mind.
Throughout the conversation, we kept using terms good, bad, evil, equality. And as playing the role of an agnostic, you're in a neutral position. Go toward atheism, there is ultimately no such things as good, bad, and evil, because everything is just matter, and matter does not have any moral, ethical, intrinsic qualities to it. So if you want to adhere to your talking edge in your role there, of good and evil and equality among men, that is found and only found from a transcendent source beyond matter. And therefore, you should more seriously consider the theistic, biblical theistic position, and not the pure material matter position. You know. So.
But to add on to that, my character—it's not really between atheism and theism. There's also deism, polytheism, a lot of other options where I can go.
And a lot of other religions.
And a lot of other religions. So it's
polytheism is almost like. But yes, there are different shades.
So did you guys find this helpful?
Yes.
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 hard work, isn't it?
Yes.
We're here in the class, we listen to Hugh, we read apologetics, we pray, we study, and yet when it comes to actually answering a real life person, or at least someone who's an outstanding actor and can play the part, it's tough. It's really tough, isn't it? So we've got work to do.
Yep.
We've got some work to do. So I want to say thank you, man. This was really fabulous. I appreciate the work you did.